Today is not going to be as cold as what we...
Hi, Ham Radio listeners. This is Heidi Holton. We are so grateful for how much we have been hearing from you about Ham Radio and that you want your ham back. We produced 6 episodes with Amy Thielen, a lively conversations with experts, with people in our community about stories about food. And we have plans to bring you even more. We're hoping for a couple more episodes. But recently, Amy stopped by on the KAXE morning show.
It's what Saturday. It's one of those, like, you can be really proud of this, that we live here. You can say, you know, Saturday, it's only going to be 2 below to 9 below for our highs during the day.
Yeah, and blustery. Oof, northwest wind, 10 to 25 miles per hour. Evening lows, 17 to 26 below.
But that's not today. Today is highs in the mid-teens. That's nothing. So if you do that, if you say the bad one first, even though we'll have to listen. I mean, not that it's bad. It could be good. We need cold weather. And then tonight looking like 3 below to 5 above zero.
Well, Saturday when it's cold, you know, you might want to stay inside and make some wreaths. And Lake Bemidji State Park is having a wreath-making workshop December 13th and 14th at the Parks Visitor Center. Registration is required. Call the park office at 218-308-2300 for more information. That sounds fun.
We just had a conversation about property taxes. Scott was weighing in saying, excellent explanations of the details that affect property taxes. Here to tell us more about property taxes is Amy Thielen.
Yeah, you don't want me talking about that.
No, Amy Thielen's joining us. You know her from Ham Radio. You know her from her books, Company. And she's a James Beard Award-winning cookbook author and chef. And Amy, I just, you know, we're talking cookies all week. We just had to talk to you.
Yeah, well, it's so nice to see your face.
Yeah.
Over Zoom. You too, Chelsea. Nice to be back. Yeah, cookies. I mean, I am just starting this whole process. I don't know where you're at in the season.
You know, I'm a big talker, but I haven't even begun. I've eaten some people's cookies. I had a new cookie that I think I'm going to try to make too. It was a lemon ricotta cookie that was like a little piece like a little piece of cake more than a cookie. It was really
sweet,
really good. So where do you even begin? Do you have your tried and true and then add a few new ones, or how do you go about it?
I make some of the things I've always made, but like I have to add some new things or I get just really bored. You know, but you know, I'm thinking about cookies are kind of about, you know, it's your currency for the holiday season, right? They have to last, and that's why I think they're often different than other kind of cookies. You know, chocolate chip cookies, for instance, get really, you know, stale or whatever. But so I make a lot of shortbreads. That's one thing I'm starting to explore more. And I just got back from London where I was just, you know, eating as much as I could, even when it hurt, soldiering on, just in the name of research.
Sure.
And they have a lot of really good bake shops and they make a lot of really cool shortbreads. I mean, of course. And I brought home this cookbook and was reading it. And I thought, wow, this book, it really is just like everything is just all the cookies are just butter, honey, and flour. There's like no eggs, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what is this? You know? But I'm thinking about it. And that's what shortbread is. It doesn't really have eggs. Sometimes it'll have an egg yolk, maybe, but it doesn't have that thing that kind of makes a cookie stale, right? That's why shortbread maybe keeps so long. So I'm just all of a sudden like a little gear in my head turned and I thought, oh, so it really is about the quality of the butter and the honey or the sugar and the flour. And so I guess it's a real back to basics year for me. I'm going to really explore that. I already have been making a lemon olive oil thumbprint, which is like a shortbread, but with olive oil. And then I put a little indentation in it with, you know, the regular wooden spoon. And if you turn it around, just like, it's kind of like a dowel. And I found that that makes a nice thumbprint, it's like a little kid's pinky or something, you know, it's kind of deep.
Yeah.
So you can fill it with jam. So I'll make that again. That's my go-to, but I'm going to explore more of these shortbreads.
What stood out to you about the ones you were tasting in London?
Yeah, it's just like, I mean, they probably are using a really high butterfat butter.
Okay.
Which, you know, we can buy anywhere with Kerrygold or the Land O'Lakes holiday butter. That's what that is. That's that high butterfat. It has less water. And so what stood out to me is that they're just really tender and cakey, and there's just like a really, it's very comforting, especially it really is over there. It really is. I've never been there before. And it's like, you know, our weather, we complain about, which we have a right to, but so do they. I mean, it is kind of dreary and it's really damp. You know, it's cold. And so like something that is really cakey and I don't know, it really fills you in a great way.
So is there a cookie from your childhood, Amy, that you just have to continue making that's just a tradition for your family?
Well, you know, my mom, she still is making a lot of stuff and she sends me boxes of all of those. So I don't really. And my mom is really more of a candy maker. We're kind of candy people at Christmas. Like caramels are what she's really famous for. And I did publish that recipe in my first book. If anybody wants it, it's a real banger. It's really good. her caramels are the best. And then she makes toffee, which she also makes really well. And she makes sour cream fudge.
Oh.
That's a classic. You don't know that?
No.
I feel like that's pretty Minnesotan. That's where my grandma used to make it too, in Piers. That's a really good recipe. It's very easy. It's fudge, but it's got that nice sour cream tang.
Okay. I'm still just thinking about what you said about the ingredients. I think I tend to be, I don't think about the quality of the ingredients. And now I'm thinking, like, if I'm trying these lemon ricotta, if I get better quality of butter, like, these are going to be even better than I expected. And the whole thing.
Yeah, for cookies, I would.
The whole thing of how long they keep, where you must be excited because we are now in the season of outdoors is our freezer.
I knew you were going to say that. It's so true. It expands my entire world.
Yeah, if you don't have a pot of soup on your porch, you know, are you even a Minnesotan?
I have so much stuff out there. I know. And that's exactly, it's the biggest deep freezer. So yeah, you could freeze them. Yeah. You know, but what happens is you have them around the house and don't you love it at the end of the holiday? It's like, all these cookies are kind of gnarly. And you're like, is this one still good? I could bring it to somebody and people start passing them around. Like, but you know, in the beginning, I also make, do you make sugar cookie cutouts? Anybody? Those are fun too.
Yes.
I have to make those every year because, I mean, are they that delicious? Yeah, they can be, but it really is just so fun to decorate them and they're so beautiful. Like, I love doing the icing. And
I found some little teeny tiny cutouts for some reason I thought were so cute that I bought this year. So I was going to try some little ones. I don't know why. I just thought that would be really adorable.
No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Really cute.
And there's, so I used to have a neighbor who would give us, it was just the tradition, she'd give you cookies and it would be like in a cellophane sleeve, you know, sugar cookies with green and red sugar on them. And I remember the first year she gave them to me, I'm kind of like, a sugar cookie, whatever. And then, you know, I'm watching a movie, I'm like, I'm going to crack into this cookie. It was the best thing I had ever tasted. It just melts in your mouth. So when she moved, she gave us the recipe and someone actually texted in because she was well known in the Grand Rapids area for these cookies. And so I was going to try them this year and I think I will, but I was completely surprised because the recipe calls for a cup of butter and a cup of vegetable oil.
Oh, cool.
So I think,
what are they called?
They're just sugar cookies.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just hadn't seen, I don't even think I cook with vegetable oil very often. And so I didn't even read it fully. I took the recipe with me to the grocery store and I went, what? Oh, vegetable oil. Okay. But that
were they like really tender, kind of like snappy, but tender?
Yes.
Yes. I've seen that recipe and I think I've tried that. Those are good.
Yeah.
That's a keeper.
Yeah. Is that the melt in your mouth thing? Is that because of the vegetable oil, do you think?
It tenderizes the cookie dough.
Okay.
The melt in your mouth still probably comes from the butter.
Okay.
But that the flakiness, the lightness is the oil, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're kind of hitting the edge of my expertise here.
another question. One thing that in our family, Grandma Holton always made the green cornflake wreaths.
I was just thinking those.
With the little red hots. And, you know, and then I started doing those too. Boy, are those messy to try to make. And timing is of the essence. Otherwise, you got to rock those things.
But they're hard to make.
Yeah.
Have you ever made like those tricolor Italian cookies, the rainbow?
No.
Gosh, those are so good too. That's in the similar world where they're kind of chewy.
Okay.
You know, and sticky. And it's more like a coconut. It's coconut, egg white. So it's kind of a macaroon. And then they're all brightly lit up with food coloring, which is really fun. And stacked in three colors, red, green, and white. Those are really good too. Highly recommend.
I've always loved those Oreo truffles, or you know, the little where you make those little balls and then cover them with the almond bark. And that's one that my mom makes every year. Mm. And oh gosh, those are so good.
Yeah.
Love those.
I have an aunt who always gives us the almond bark. I mean, it's just the simplest of recipes, of course. You know, it's basically like Chex Mix and peanut M&Ms and then almond bark over it, and you make little candy things, and that's super addictive in the holiday season. And that's more of a candy. I don't know that that's a cookie, right?
It is kind of more of a candy. And you know, along the same lines, my grandma used to make peanut brittle.
Mm.
And that's really fun because, you know, it's pretty easy, but you put the baking soda into that foaming sugar caramel and it foams up, and then you pour it out right away. And that's what gives it that, you know, all the holes and all the lightness, the honeycombing.
We're talking with Amy Thielen today. We're talking cookies. That is our question of the week. Do you have favorites this time of year? Do you have any questions you'd like? We just heard from Mary from Bemidji who sent in, I'm waiting for this to load. She sent a photo of a cookie, so this must be good. She must be very proud.
It's a plate of cookies.
Oh, I can't. Okay, yeah. I can't see it.
It looks really nice. Lots of reds and greens and, you know, it's sprinkles, of course. We got gingerbread men in there.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk gingerbread. I've never made gingerbread.
Yeah. Well, I came from the land of gingerbread just, you know, last week. And it's like my grandma, Addie, she always would make gingerbread. And they were giant. And they were puffy. And chewy, and they had the white icing and, you know, the red hots for eyes and all of that. That's a big cookie. You know, she would make a really, you know, we would play with them. I think when we were little, they were like, they're big.
Yeah.
But I love gingerbread. And there's a book I have that's really, I would recommend a lot. And it's called, it's a Christmas book by Mimi Sheraton. And she was, I think she's passed now, but she's really influential, like New York food writer, but she did this really deep dive into traditions from all over the world. It's called something sugar plums. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name. It is Visions of Sugar Plums, I think. But wow, she has so many different recipes for gingerbread. And that's where I found my gingerbread house recipe. Like I used to make the gingerbread myself, you know? So you make all the sides of the house, and then I know you guys, it's like, I know. And then, but you have to have these like cutouts, you know? So she gives you all the plans and it works really well. Like I've looked at a lot of gingerbread houses in the years since. I've used this book for like 25 years. It makes the best gingerbread. It's snappy. It's like got a lot of spice, has to have black pepper in it. And it's sturdy. It's like a good building material, honestly.
I was just going to ask you about like using savory ingredients in cookies. And you mentioned the black pepper and in the gingerbread. You know, I had seen cookie recipes with like chili flakes and things like that. Like, do you have any that you think are just not normal traditional cookie ingredients that you just think we should all try?
Well, I love herbs sometimes with sugar. like, so going back to like the lemon, my olive oil shortbread, right? Let's say I like a little rosemary in there, rosemary sugar. Thyme sugar is really good in the kind of the sugar cookie realm. I like it when people make cookies spicy. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think that's fun. I think it's my mother-in-law. She makes like this Mexican hot chocolate cookie that has a little bit of zip to it. That is delicious. It's like really dark chocolate. It's really good. So yeah, I would say it's great to use some spice and some herbs, you know.
We just got a text in from John Bauer. He says, is a cookie really a Christmas cookie if it isn't decorated? I think it is.
Purist.
I know. He would eat it. I know he would. I don't know what he's
as long
about.
As it looks cute, John. You know?
He likes those little silver BBs on his.
Oh my gosh, you're going to break a tooth on those things. We got a question from Betty in Nevis wondering, what makes one butter better than another?
Well, you know, for cookies you want, and for baking in general, you want a high butterfat butter. So all butter is cream that's whipped until you take out most of the water, right? And if you've ever done it, like shake it in the jar, you see that it's like all these curds and whey, right? So butter makers put back in a certain amount of water. And that's why when you melt butter in a pan, it'll spit and, you know, pop. That means that it has kind of a lot of water. And sometimes I feel like we know they push the edge a little bit and try to get away with putting more water, you know, and also it makes it hard too, right? Like it makes it that nice firm butter with a little bit of water. But for the holidays or for high fat baking, for better baking, you want less of that water. And so a butter like Kerrygold, which we can find everywhere here, has less water content. And that holiday baking butter from Land O'Lakes also has less water.
Does it have that information on there about the butter, the water content?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But I think to Betty's question, why would that matter? Because when you're mixing butter with flour, you're making, you know, a kind of a paste of sorts, right? And if you have too much water, the water is going to bind to the flour, and that makes gluten, which makes bread, which makes tough, which sometimes it gives it strength, which you want some of that, right? But you don't want, like if you were to just pour oil into flour, you're not going to get anything that cohesively sticks together. You need the butter, a little bit of water. But if you have too much water, then you're not going to get that nice, like crumbly rich, the richness. It's richer with less water, basically.
So that's why when I don't have patience and I haven't brought my butter to room temperature. Yeah, like you really need to do that, right? I mean, you can't put it in the microwave. That's not going to be the same thing in your cookie.
Well, I mean, if you put it in on defrost, if you...
Yeah,
not if you open. Are at one with your microwave defrost, you could probably do it.
That is tricky. That is a tricky element, I find.
I had a tip recently about like just warming a measuring cup or like putting boiling water in it so it's warm and then placing that over the butter so that it has like a warm environment without the risk of meltage.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's brilliant. I would love to hear people's input on how to melt butter in creative ways. Not melt it, but soften it.
Yeah.
You know?
I just have to think ahead. That's usually my problem on things. Now, Amy, can we twist your arm to stick around after we have local news coming up next? But we've got someone you know joining us with a new cookbook. It is Hank Shaw.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, he's going to be joining us, and we're going to switch from cookies to recipes south of the border or at the borderlands. So it'll be kind of interesting. But maybe he's got some thoughts on cookies as well. We'll see.